Hello and welcome to the Middle East Today with me, Ali Risk. After the Egyptians succeeded in putting an end to the decades-long Mubarak era, the world's most populated Arab country finds itself in a stalemate that threatens to plunge Egypt into chaos and civil strife. The latest developments related to the draft constitution have led to depolarization and rival mass rallies between supporters and opponents of President Mohamed Morsi. In today's episode of Middle East Today, we'll discuss the Egyptian stalemate with my guests. I am joined here in the studio by Professor Hilal Khashan, who is from the American University of Beirut. And I'm also joined by Mr. Mohammad Ghanim from London, who is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. And from Cairo, I am joined by Dr. Saeed Sadiq, a professor at the American University of Cairo. I'd like to begin with Dr. Saeed Sadiq. Dr. Saeed, what are the latest developments going on in Cairo? Because we have heard that the opposition now has decided to actually vote no instead of boycott the referendum. Is that the case?
Yes, it is the case. And in addition, the military, the Minister of Defense, who made an initiative to compensate for the failure of the national dialogue that was hosted by the president, has also withdrawn the initiative because there was no response, according to the expectation, because many of the oppositionists said, what is the point that we meet the Minister of Defense, who works for the president, after we had refused to meet the president because he refused to do to make the concessions that the opposition wanted. They wanted to postpone the referendum on the constituent on the constitution, and also to re-examine some of the clauses that are minefields that could lead to another theocratic state. In contrast to
I'd like to ask, with respect to this decision, a military dictatorship. With respect to this decision about now voting no, because there was some argument or divisions amongst the opposition between no and boycotting. This decision now to vote no, is it due to the fact that the opposition believes it has enough momentum, popularity, in order to reject on the street, reject this draft constitution?
This is, by the way, the sixth constitution in the history of Egypt in two centuries, and the most controversial. Now it divides the country, and they believe that they had enough publicity, negative publicity, for this constitution, and that the educated intelligentsia can be mobilized. But of course, you know that the other side mobilizes the countryside. They have political bribes. They have exploitation of people, ignorance. I have 37% of the population are illiterate, 40% below poverty line. How can they understand 236 articles of a constitution? They don't know what is a constitution.
Mr. Mohammad Ghanim from London, I think what many people are asking now is, why has President Mohamed Morsi insisted on taking this step, on going ahead with the referendum, despite all of the divisions which have even led to violence on the street?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you see how the position of Dr. Morsi is to pursue what the Egyptian people want. And according to the last constitutional declaration, that he should call for election 15 days after the constitution is being done. I had to put some facts for you, for people to understand. This constitutional committee has been elected by the two chamber, which is being elected directly from the Egyptian people. Then they work for 6 months, and they vote, they produce this constitution. The reading from the public, that's the majority accept the constitution. But in any way, this constitution has no divinity. It's a human work, it's not perfect. It has within the mechanism to change. Nothing remains without a change. Everything is not a Quran. But the thing is, what remains is That's the Egyptian people have the will to decide, and they must have the right to decide what they see is for their own benefit. Then it's nothing to do with Dr. Morsi.
Get my guest here in the studio, Professor Hilal Khashan. What we just heard practically is that what is happening is democracy. The side which has more popularity is passing its policies. That's what I can read. Is that the case? Is democracy having its say in Egypt now?
Well, okay, you know, the Egyptian people revolted against the regime of the defunct President Hosni Mubarak, and they wanted democracy. Once you opt for democracy, there is no turning back. You cannot say ex post facto that 70% of the population are illiterate, the vast majority of the people don't understand the articles of the Constitution. This kind of thinking is highly authoritarian. You can't say that democracy belongs to a stratum in society and should not apply to everybody. This is the price of democracy. You cannot accept democracy conveniently. If you like it, you go along with it, and if you dislike it, you say no to hell with it. Mm-hmm. So the decision was made as far as democracy is concerned.
So were the protests in some way, were they undemocratic? Were they outside the circle of democracy?
Well, you know, I mean, if a significant percentage of the Egyptian people is uneducated, I would say this uneducated stratum of the population is divided along the two lines of the divide. Therefore, no side protesting right now can claim that they have the upper moral ground or that they know better than the other. Let the people decide. It is a conventional wisdom in democracies that if a constitution draft is presented for people, for referendum, people decide on it, either yes or no. I don't understand the reason for going to the street and insisting on preventing the referendum. Right. To demand preventing the referendum means that you are afraid of the consequences of the election process.
Okay, Dr. Saeed Sadeh, our guest from London said that this latest step taken by Morsi regarding the referendum is in line with democracy. Our guest here in the studio also said, why were these protests? If you have an objection, just go to the ballot box and say no. Why did the opposition deal with the situation in such a way before deciding today to go to the ballot and say no?
Well, the symptom of the problem is rejecting the Constitution. The Constitution has some positive elements and negative elements, but also has minefields, like Article 219 that would also use Islamic Sharia and it would be loosely interpreted by anybody who's dominating the parliament. And as you know, the problem is that the Egyptians had seen many examples of Socratic states in the Middle East that had failed. They have seen Sudan, they have seen Afghanistan, they have seen the Gulf states, and so they are afraid that it is not actually this constitution. This would be the beginning. It has some articles that would pave the road for a Socratic state. Now, of course, what you should have done first is enlightenment. In March 2011, they had a referendum on constitutional amendment. 22% rejected that, and 77% said yes. And in the end, it turned out that the minority that rejected were the one who are right, and the majority who were led and exploited by Islamists, who told them that if you vote for this referendum, you will go to heaven, and this will be a victory to Islam, and this will be, you know, it will lead to stability. It is not a question of, illiterate being manipulated by this side or that side, but you have in the countryside, and we have seen in all the demonstration of the Islamists, they have to bring buses from the countryside because this is where the socioeconomic problems of the country are happening. Here, Islamism is not really anything but a cover for a class struggle between the countryside and the city. And it is covered and couched with Islamic terminology and things like that. Three elements must be addressed by the Islamists. What is the status of women? What would be the status of religious minorities? What is
but
your stand
again,
regarding
again, the
democracy?
Question,
are you
the
using democracy just to
if you,
power
if you allow
and
me,
then
the question
you end
is,
the democratic
why,
transition?
Why is the opposition The question is, why did the opposition choose to go to the streets? If you have a problem with the constitution, you solve it on the ballot boxes, not on the street. That is what many people ask.
Exactly, exactly. But it did not start like that. It started with the constitutional proclamation that gave the president authoritarian powers, and it also showed that he is tilting toward this constituent assembly that has many problems. It was going to be dissolved, it seems, and that's why they sent militia to besiege the Supreme Constitutional Court and prevent it from passing any court ruling on this issue. If they believe in democracy, they should also respect the law, they should respect the court, and they should not send militia to besiege the Supreme Constitutional Court and the media city. They are besieging the media, they are besieging the court, and now you're talking about democracy. Democracy is not only the ballot box, it also needs freedom and respect of the law. Please respect the law.
Okay, Mr. Mohammed Ghanem, President Mohamed Morsi, what is his intention? Is President Mohamed Morsi a president for Egypt, or is he, as some people say, a president of the, or a leader, a figure of the Muslim Brotherhood?
Well, to answer that, I must just answer, I've heard your guest, and unfortunately, Egypt has been subject to distortion of the Islamic image, and in particular political Islam, if there is such thing. And they have that excuse and learn to put anything as an excuse for Islamic and Islamist, and now we've seen this vocabulary in national unit, polarization, which it does not exist. This in the political book. Politically, it's all political struggle. And Egyptian people, especially the politician, have to learn to live with democracy and the democratic process and the democratic instrument. Dr. Morsi came by the election, and he has a majority. They voted for him. Then how can he be only for Islamists? This word Islamist and Islamic is just an excuse, which has been repeated for the last 90 or 80 years in Egypt, which is people being brainwashed against the Islamic and the Islamist and all these things. Now we have political struggle. We should compete within democracy. Islam respect democracy, as we keep explaining. We accept democracy. The people which they call themselves secular, which I don't know how they translate other section, they call for democracy. Now, when democracy brought political Islam or the Islamic movement, they reject everything about democracy, and they try to hang all this failure on this concept of the demonization, polarization,
okay,
which does not exist within the political area.
Professor Hilal Khashan, what we just heard is that, you know, President Mohamed Morsi was elected in a popular vote, which was recognized by everyone, and so he is democratically elected. But on the other hand, there are also some laws, according to those who oppose Morsi, some of the articles in the draft constitution, which are not in accordance with the democratic or pluralistic society. What would you say?
Well, okay, first of all, let's keep in mind that in Egypt, beginning 1954, with the presidency of the late Gamal Abdel Nasser, and the event of Manshiyat al-Bakri, which was schemed by him against the Brotherhood, since then there has been in order a culture of anti-Islamic Brotherhood in Egypt. This culture has been nurtured by Nasser, Sadat, and Mubarak. The word Brotherhood has become similar to theocracy and rule of a single party and one man vote one time only, etc. You know, So we need to keep that in mind, that there's an anti-brotherhood culture in the country. Another thing, a constitution is never a perfect instrument. After all, it is man-made. And we keep in mind that a constitution is a living document. It can be updated, changed, revised, and you know, every country has a constitution, and every liberal democracy has amendments. Even the Americans, as fond as they are of their constitution, have so far introduced 26 amendments. You know, I went over the articles of the constitution. They sounded democratic to me. Of course, that there are loopholes and then possible loopholes, that's fine. Former President Anwar Sadat used to call himself the faithful president, al-Ra'is al-Mu'min, and he included Islam as a source, included Sharia as a source of legislation. Many countries say that. To say that the Brotherhood will use this loophole in order to transform the system into a theocracy, here comes the role of Egypt's civil society. I understand the civil society is robust. Therefore, the civil society can and should be able to apply checks and curbs of the ability of the president and to prevent him from transforming the system into a theocracy. I mean, this is the idea behind democracy. The civil society checks the ruling elite and keep them in place and prevent them from transforming democracy into a mobocracy.
Dr. Saeed, do you view, and do many Egyptians from the opposition view Mohamed Morsi as a representative of the Muslim Brotherhood, not the president, as someone, for example, who is taking his directions from the Supreme Guide, Mohamed Badir?
Of course, in the beginning of Dr. Morsi's rule, in the first 2 months, he was beginning to be popular. He got rid of the SCAF, and this was one of the demands of the Egyptian revolution. We do not want a military state. So people supported him, even the skeptics and the people who didn't vote for him. He also visited Iran, and this was very important symbolic act to show that Egyptian foreign policy is becoming independent. But gradually, he began to fall back into the organization that supported him and alienate himself from the rest of the people. And so you cannot talk about Morsi in general in the 5 months, but the first 2 months he was positive and developing. In the last 3 months, he began to become alienated from society, from the urban areas that did not vote for him in the first place, but they were able and they were ready to give him the benefit of the doubt to support him if he wanted to be the president of Egypt. If you look at who is demonstrating in Egyptian streets in Tahrir and Al-Ittihadiyya in front of the presidential palace, they are mainly women and Copts and pro-democracy and revolutionaries who started the whole revolution, like the 6th of April movement, a secular leftist group that supported Dr. Morsi and now is turning against him. And that should have made the group, the Muslim Brotherhood, rethink their position. There is something wrong. They are doing something wrong. The decision-making process, the fact that they are looking that all decisions are not coming from the presidential palace, they have to pass through the Supreme Guide. All these things are beginning to make many Egyptians doubt if he is the president of all of Egypt. And look at the slogan. They're all repeating the old slogan that was said against Mubarak. Also, let me add to what Dr. Khashan said. I agree with you totally about the image of the Muslim Brotherhood and political Islam. First of all, there is no successful political Islam model in the Middle East. As you know, the political Islam model in recent history has not been promising to many people, especially the educated people in Egypt. They look at the Sudanese model. The country has been split. They look at Afghanistan, 8 million refugees, and the stories about human rights violation against women, minorities, are not promising. They look at the Gulf states, those monarchies, the customary monarchies who use religion to oppress what is inside the country and serve the strategic interests of the United States. The Turkish model is concentrated mainly on the economic development and did not apply Islamic Sharia.
Okay, allow me, because we are short on time. Let me go to London. Mr. Mohamed Ghanem.
Our reactionary interpretation of Islamic Sharia.
Mr. Mohamed Ghanem, you heard what was just said. Many people are saying, as our guest from Cairo said, that President Morsi actually maybe went too far in relying on his own support and made some mistakes. In addition, the Supreme Guide Mohammed Badir actually turned out quite harsh, some might say, against the protesters, saying that these protests ruin legitimacy. So the fears being raised against the Muslim Brotherhood leadership, aren't these fears justified?
Well, again, the Islamophobia have been turned in Egypt politically to Ikhwanophobia. Ikhwan is a section, has a movement, has a political party, and you cannot ignore or discriminate against them. Dr. Morsi, as the president of Egypt, he has the right to ask or seek advice from any section. And when he deals politically, he should include everybody and cannot exclude anyone, particularly Ikhwan. Why? Ikhwan is not alien. They're not coming from the outer space. They are a section from the Egyptian population representing every aspect of life. I don't know why these common aggression about Ikhwan. Ikhwan is your brother, your sister, your father, your uncle. It's a wide range of the Egyptian people. Then trying to making a political adjustment and exclude one section, whatever Ikhwan or not, that's not politics. Mm-hmm. And because Egyptian is new to democracy, they have to get free of this discrimination, accept the Muslim Brotherhood, and if Morsi make a mistake, next voting, people will judge him.
Okay.
Either choose another one or choose one from the same movement.
Professor Hilal Kashan, quickly a question about the American policy. Until now, the Obama administration has been very hesitant, hasn't even denounced what is happening in Egypt. Many people are saying Obama is tilted in favor of Morsi. If that is the case, why?
Well, it is not that the Americans are in favor of Morsi. Morsi abided by the rules of the game. He chose not to confront the U.S. He understood and accepted their role in the region and Egypt. He did not confront the military. He allowed them to keep their autonomy. And he pledged not to disrupt the peace process with Israel. So he playing by the rules of the game.
Okay. Professor Saeed, I'd like to ask you now about where we are headed in Egypt. What we have in Egypt now are two different sides. Each side, whether it be Muslim Brotherhood or the opposition, has significant weight on the street. And that is what is most scary, because it's not the same when Mubarak was in power. He didn't have the popularity on the street. So this raises the stakes of civil strife. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree totally, because if you look at what is called political violence or political terror scale, this is a scale from 1 to 5. The first, if you are 1, this means you have very low level of political violence, like New Zealand, Australia, Scandinavia. And 5 is civil war. Egypt today in that scale is number 4. And of course, this is very alarming. It had never happened before since the time of King Mina, who united Egypt, the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom, that the people are so divided. This has never happened before. And what we had, we hope that the president would take an initiative, very strong initiative, to postpone this referendum and discuss all those controversial articles, between 15 to 30 articles, discuss them within 2 months and try to solve it. What you are seeing today in this controversy is fear. You need to dispel the fears of women, minorities, revolutionaries, pro-democracy people, that Egypt is not going to be a militia country like in Lebanon, where you have the civil war. And Dr. Hashan knows very well about the militia that exists in Lebanon. And so we hope that Egypt does not become like Lebanon and enter a similar civil war.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Saeed Sadeh, for joining us from Cairo, professor at the American University of Cairo. I'd also like to thank my guest from London, Mr. Mohammed Ghanem, member of the Muslim Brotherhood. And also I'd like to thank Professor Hilal Khashan from the American University of Beirut. For all our viewers, you can always send us your feedback at our email, metoday@presstv.com. Bye for now.